Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a splendid day wherever you are. Man, if the weather's as good where you are as it is where I am, are we kidding? It's not going to be as good where you are where I am. So, sorry, I had to be that guy. That was me. My bad, yo. My bad. Oh, we got lots of stuff. Lots of stuff to get to. Doug Gottlieb Show comes to you live daily from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call Farmers today, 1-888-FARMERS, and you can start saving money on auto insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
So, J.J. Watt. Well, J.J. Watt signs a free agent deal. As you might have heard if you're listening to my man David Gascon, who's in the update chair. David Gascon reported, and we've seen it throughout, that J.J. Watt signed a deal, 2 years, reportedly at $31 million, but there's $23 million in guarantees. What's that mean? Well, it means it's about $11.5 million per year, right? Okay, so last week, we kind of laughed at the, J.J. Watt, he's got $15, $16 million offers out there, which technically accurate. And as we said, if you have an offer in your J.J. Watt and it's worth $15 million, then you know what you should do? You should take that offer. You should take that offer. Because in the real world, a championship caliber team values him somewhere between $7 and $9 million a year. So what I see throughout the social media landscape, which is just a cesspool of uninformed idiots or people who are trying to change a narrative to fit one that they think is the right one, is look at the Houston Texans. You know, why don't you just call the Arizona Cardinals the Texans West? Right? Because they got a bunch of former Houston Texans. Well, actually, they have two. DeAndre Hopkins, who they traded, surprisingly so, last offseason, and J.J. Watt, who they cut this year. J.J. Watt, for the record, has missed 33 of the last 80 games, right? Part of ability is availability. Additionally, look, dude, he's in his mid-30s, okay? He's not J.J. Watt of 5 years ago. Still a good player. Still could be helpful. Could be a good part of the culture. But what I don't want to hear from people is the nonsense about J.J. Watt, like, oh my gosh, this just completely seals the deal. They should get off the Deshaun Watson. Like, they were going to cut J.J. Watt regardless. He was set to make $17.5 million. It was a $17.5 against the cap if they kept him. Nothing against the cap if they don't keep him. So he wasn't taking a pay cut to stay there. He took a pay cut and got a signing bonus to go elsewhere. They did him a solid. This organization, which I've heard called just a laughing stock and such a cesspool and such a... Okay, so they could have traded J.J. Watt for like a fourth round pick or whatever, where he would have been negotiating against himself on a new deal. Or they could allow him to walk and then pit team against team in terms of where he was going to go, which would drive up his value to the point where the Arizona Cardinals massively overpaid for him, partially because I'm sure they got deked by his crew. Because, look, you're only going to Arizona if you're taking top bidder, which also means we can please stop with the, well, J.J. Watt, he wants to be a part of a better, a winning, like, J.J. Watt didn't care about any of that. Did it help the DeAndre Hopkins there? Sure. You know what really helped? $23 million guaranteed. That's what helped. He went to the highest bidder. That's it. Which is fine. He's totally allowed to do. Right? Totally allowed to do. But let's not make this some sympathetic tale of a guy who was crushed by the Texans culture and only wanted to win some air of a championship caliber team. I like Kyler Murray. Okay? I like Cliff and what they've done. I think they'll improve defensively because it couldn't be any worse. And I think he makes them better. Does he make him a championship team? The answer is no. Nobody thinks that. Nobody thinks that. You know, they won 8 games last year. That's what it is. They won 8 games. Now, you could sit here and tell me, well, you know, this is a lot like Tampa signing Tom Brady. Well, there's a difference. Tom Brady did not take top dollar. Tom Brady had all the pieces in place. Tom Brady's also quarterback, and Tom Brady had won, I don't know, 6 Super Bowls beforehand, whereas J.J. Watt and the Texans hadn't won anything. It's just a different calculation. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Arizona Cardinals are worse. It's a risky proposition at best. Not just, even if J.J. Watt is as good as he used to be, the likelihood is he gets hurt. Why? Because he always gets hurt. And the stronger likelihood is he's not as good as he used to be. And then you're paying him $11 million for a service that you could get performed at a substantially cut rate. The hit rate on quarterbacks, on wide receivers, on defensive players, on free agents, the hit rate is 33%. And the second you start to understand and buy into that, you know that there's a 1 in 3 chance that J.J. Watt lives up to the contract he just signed. We can make it about other things because we don't know what's really going on in Houston. And Deshaun Watson has told us that he's the worst, you know, that Jacoby Easterby is the worst ever. And all they do is lie to you. But all I can tell you is the Houston Texans, as of today, just simply based upon what they did with J.J. Watt, did right by him. They moved on. He got a new contract. He's with the highest bidder. He's with a new team. And they have the cap space to go and start to rebuild their defense. Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like cramming a full year's worth of cash back into one of those cash-shaped birthday cards. Cash back match only by Discover Card. Learn more at discover.com/cashbackmatch. Discover something brighter. I mean, look, I think J.J. Watt's good. Does this make them better? Does what they did better than what the Rams did? The answer is no. Now, it's not the last move that Arizona will have. But the fact is that if you you compare Arizona to the Rams have a better quarterback. And I like Kyler Murray, but a better quarterback. And an upgraded quarterback, too. Kyler Murray should be better, but will he be as much better as the upgrade of Stafford is to Jared Goff? And then nothing that they have compares to Aaron Donald and what he will do to the defense. To an offense, actually, as a defensive player. Nor do they have a Jalen Ramsey. Yeah. So I think then you look at Seattle, and as much as it feels, well, Russell Wilson wants out. Like, look, they made the playoffs last year. The San Francisco 49ers have a ferocious pass rush when Nick Bosa is healthy. They're a better roster. So don't make it about anything that it's not about. Here's what it's about. J.J. Watt went to the highest bidder. And his agent had people convinced in the media that he was going to make 15 to 16. Could he? I guess. The devil's in the details. It's $23 million guaranteed, which is $11.5 per year. That's what he'll make. And he went to whatever team would pay him the most money. Period. Stop. Put me down for saying J.J. Watt, that's a money grab. It's a money grab. You know, we want to believe that J.J. Watt has this other gear in him. As Doug said, like, okay, you move him inside. Like, well, what's the value of him playing inside when he's always played outside? And yes, Chandler Jones is unbelievable before he got hurt, but he has tore his biceps. He is 31. And you're going to pay for your third best offensive lineman, you're going to pay 11.5 guaranteed up to $15 million. That's an insane overpay. Insane overpay. And that's why he goes there. You only go to a place like the Cardinals where you're not going to compete for a championship if the team overpays you, which he's allowed to do. He's allowed to take top dollar. But there's things that come with that. Tim's going with it.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So Lloyd Pierce got fired. This is like the NBA is super interesting. It's interesting because the actual play on the court is not that interesting, but the off the court, we'll find out what's behind that. There's a discussion in the world of sports that continues to go on to no end, no end. And I'm going to put an end to it really, really quickly. Okay. I'll put an end to it really quickly. And I'm going to divulge some details that I don't know, like my kids don't, I'm not going to say anything about now, but 18 years ago, whatever. David Gascon, you went where to go to school?
San Diego State for undergrad and then Northeastern for grad school.
Okay, so you went to grad school.
I did.
Look at you. You have an MBA or what do you have a master's in?
Master's in sports management.
Master's in sports management. Your first job out of school?
First job, we worked with a colleague. I worked for Petros Papadakis' dad at his restaurant, Papadakis Taverna in San Pedro.
Really?
Yeah.
What was your first job in the media?
First job, I worked for an affiliate in San Diego, Extra Sports 1360 in San Diego.
Okay. I know it well. What were you doing?
I was a lowly board op, $10 an hour part-time.
Right. Okay. So had you done any on-air work when you were in college?
Negative.
Okay. So why did you decide I wanted to be a board op in San Diego?
Well, that was the only way to get in the door. I lived here in Los Angeles at the time, and I did part-time unpaid grad work in Los Angeles and didn't have a lick of experience on air, and so I took the first job I can get.
Okay, and then you eventually got on air when? When was your first job on air?
6 months in, I became the game day host for the San Diego State Aztecs because Steve Quist, who was a host and a play-by-play broadcaster, was doing other things on Christmas Day. So I was the game day host when the Aztecs played in Hawaii in one of the Honolulu Classics.
Mm.
It was actually the same day that Joe Flacco threw a deep touchdown pass over Raheem Moore's head to break the backs of the Denver Broncos. So.
Huh. Okay.
Making you
How much did that make?
I made $350 for doing that.
$350 a show?
No, just for that show. That was the only thing I did until I became the game to host the Chargers. So I had the one opportunity and that was it.
Oh, just one show, a one-off show.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when you're the host of the Chargers, what'd you make?
I made $200 for the entire day and I worked a 14-hour day.
First of all, I just encourage all of you, don't go to journalism school. There's no money in it.
None.
And there are people like me who are making money in it, and it's been a great living and a great life. I didn't actually go to journalism school. I'm not it's a better thing. If you want to go to journalism school, don't go expecting to get some big payday. It's the exception, not the norm, right? If you want to do it because it's what you have a passion for doing, don't expect, like, when we were kids, it was you want to be a lawyer or a doctor. Now it's like going to finance, dude, if you want to really make a killing, or maybe going to sales if you want to always have a solid. Like, there's lots of salesmen who listen to this show. They're driving another car. They download the podcast. They download the All Ball podcast, right? Like, I think if I wasn't doing this at this point in time, I'd be doing something in sales, maybe something in real estate.
Not coaching?
Or coaching, yeah. Coaching would be the other thing. And I still, like, I would maybe double dip. Like, if I was in real estate, or pharmaceutical sales, if I could do it, I would do it and coach at the same time, right? If I get into major coaching, I would do that too. But my point is, so Jalen Johnson, you know, basically quit on Duke, and we get in this whole, like, well, anybody who's negative about Jalen Johnson, you're commenting on unpaid labor. And there's some professor at Duke who said, you know, all these people who are commenting have built a career commenting on unpaid labor. Like, first of all, it's just so disingenuous. None of these kids could get into Duke without the help of playing basketball. The entrance into Duke is, it's like part of Skulls, right? Then the school itself, it costs 70 grand a year. That's post-tax. Okay, nobody pays the full boat. Fine. 50 grand a year. That's really about 90 grand pre-tax. Okay, I can't afford to send my kid to a 90 grand a year school. I don't know about you, and I make good money. So you get into a school you couldn't get to, you get to, and that's not even counting all of the sports benefits. And the idea that what happens, the example I will use is of myself, but it actually mirrors that of Zion, right? Zion was a thing anyway with YouTube, but when he kind of co-branded with Duke, with Duke's brand, he blew up to where he was, you know, he already had these marketing deals, so much so that he got sued for one agent using one agent and then flipping to another one. Because the power of the brand, as we talked about a couple hours ago with Cade Cunningham, the power of playing for Duke, though, is ridiculous. Duke is a scholarship for life, not just at the school, but in life in general. But here's the easiest example to people like, well, you're not paid when you're, you know, what's the benefit of it? Like, what's the benefit of it? Okay, first, I get into a school I couldn't get into. I get a school completely paid for. I get great training. I get a great lifestyle while I'm there. Now you get cost of attendance, which means you get money in your pocket. Like, there's literally no negatives at all. But the real payout is in the rest of your life. For example, when I tell people this, they always crap their pants, right? My first job, and I'd filled in on radio. I filled in like you did. So when I got done playing, I was bouncing around trying to play. I was supposed to play in Italy for a team that played in Russia. Then I was in the CBA. I was in the IBA, the ABA. I played in Israel. When I filled in for a guy named Jim Traber mostly. Jim's the afternoon host in Oklahoma City. He's a dear friend of mine. And I got paid $100 a show. And if they would do remote, I would get $200. So that was pretty good. When I negotiated my first contract, what happened was I got offered a deal to do, I think it was a minimum of 12 games at ESPN. So in order to try and look, I wanted to get into the media early because though I liked playing professional basketball, I didn't know if I could do it for 10, 15 years, but I was only willing to do it if I didn't take a pay cut. So I factored in what I was going to make overseas. And then I said, okay, here's what I make from ESPN, just calling 12 basketball games. How do I even it out, make it work if I stay stateside? And I made 60 grand my first year, just that's before endorsements and appearances and remotes and whatever. And people who do radio hear that, like, that's obscene. It's an obscene amount. Most people start at $10, $15 an hour, talking 20, 25 grand a year. And yeah, you know why? Because I played and I was a well-known commodity as a player and that had value. That's where it all works for you. And we all deny all this stuff. Like, what are you even talking about? People who say this that are professors that talk about like players getting used and abused, like, pay attention, pull your head out of your backside. Dude, it's the best life. And then when you get done playing, you got that in your resume and they already know who you are when you walk in the door. It's a chosen life. It's great. And all you got to do is play a little hoop. Ah, it's a dream. Well, they overwork you. No, they don't. Because most college students who aren't playing sports, they have to work in order to make ends meet. You don't have to work when you're playing college sports. You know why? Because you already get everything taken care of. And now you get money in your pocket. It's like, well, the hours are bull. I lived it. It was enough hours where I still went and worked more on my own. Not enough, but more on my own. And that was on me, not on what was asked of me by my coaching staff. And I worked some. I tended bar at Willie's Saloon in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Go ask anybody. There's plenty of time to do all these different things you can do. Everybody's got girlfriends, right? Everybody's got a life. I mean, it's an obscene, and it's the exact same argument that people are using against Jane Slater. Like, how dare you promote unpaid labor? Like, dude, what do you think you are when you're a college student and you're helping, and you're a grad student and you're helping your professor with a paper? What do you think happens there? What do you think what happens with every college student? Like, college student, you pay to go to school. Right? And then to get it, a lot of times you got to pay for a tutor or pay for an SAT prep class, you know, like All of these things cost money, and maybe it gets you into the school that you want. Then you got to start paying through the nose. Then when you're there, and then the second you leave, they ask you to pay more. Hey, why don't you give a donation? You just graduate. Like, whoa, I haven't even reaped the benefits of it. So we completely lost track of how all these things work. And if you think that it's only about sports, we're talking about, it's not. Everybody starts one place. You earn your way. You show yourself. Some people hop in line, skip steps. Some people hop in line. They're not really ready. And that gets exposed as well. And like Jane Slater, who's a nice woman. She covers the Cowboys. She has the Two Boys and a Girl podcast on the Herd Podcast Network. All she did was post something about an unpaid internship, and people lost their mind.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Rick Bucher joins us. You can see him on Fox Sports 1. Buke, I know Atlanta hasn't been good, but why was Lloyd Pierce let go?
Well, essentially because they had high expectations. They spent a lot of money on this team, and they were supposed to make a significant step forward. And if you look at the way they've played, I mean, it really has been head scratching. Not a whole lot of teams are playing with great defense, and defense has been absent. I think you and I have talked about it previously, but they in particular, and I haven't even looked at where they are overall defensively in ratings, but I just, in watching them anecdotally, they just always looked a step slow. They didn't look like they had a whole lot of energy. Didn't look like they were playing. They'd ever found cohesion. And so I don't even put any of that on Lloyd Pierce. It's simply when you have a team that you put a lot of money into and it's underachieving, and you have a head coach who you haven't put a lot of money into, it's really easy to make the decision. Let's see if we can get a little more something out of our team by changing things up top.
I mean, am I wrong to think this is the Trae Young factor, right? When Trae Young it's not just that he's a bad defender. He doesn't try oftentimes, and that drives his teammates crazy. It hurts their cohesion. And then offensively, as talented as he is, and he's an amazing talent, you kind of got to play his way and then just wait for the basketball. Yep. And it drives dudes crazy. I, by the way, if you go back in the draft, I predicted this, that whoever, because when you're drafted that high and you're that skilled, you're going to play right away, and you can't really win that way, and ultimately brings down the coach. Is that too harsh on Trae?
I don't think it is. They have a crisis in leadership, that's for sure. Trae Young, by default, because he's probably the most heralded player, is, by default, people would look to him as the leader. But to your point, your best player, if he's your leader, your leader has to be your hardest worker. And ideally, they're all one in the same. And not to say that Trae doesn't work hard on his game, but I don't see him expending ultimate energy at both ends of the floor. And so as a result, if you're going to gain the trust and the respect of the Gallinaris and the other veterans that they brought in there to take the next step up, then what are you going to do? And I can't help but feel that Rajon Rondo being there, and his influence in terms of what they, what he knows about playing point guard and what they need out of that position, that was an influence on this situation as well.
Do you think a good or a bad influence?
Obviously a bad influence for Lloyd. I just think that Rajon has a very defined way of seeing the way things should be, and is completely unafraid of calling out when it's not on. And I don't know definitively who and what he called out. I just know that Rajon, if something's not copacetic, if somebody is being given too much leeway or respect or is not doing things the right way, he will not hesitate to say, this is not going to work.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What do you make of the Clippers' kind of bizarre loss and just kind of some weird showings?
Well, I hate to pinpoint this, and I've been talking about this. I do not like their offense when it runs through Kawhi Leonard. The ball sticks way too much. They play way too slow. I honestly feel as if he needs to get back, and I don't know if there's anybody who's big enough in that organization to, or the team collectively can get him to buy into this. But he needs to be the defensive player he's capable of and leading them at that end of the floor and allow Paul George to be the orchestrator at the offensive end. To me, they play much faster. They play with a better rhythm. Everybody gets involved. I like the flow of their offense. With Kawhi, it's always like if he can get to his spot and he can win his matchup, then all is good. And, you know, they kind of go back and forth. It's not as if they don't play through PG or get a steady dose of that. But there are times where it's like Kawhi's trying to live up to I am LeBron. I can dominate the game at both ends. And he's not the playmaker that he is or that LeBron is or even that Paul George is in my estimation. And so that I think the delineation of responsibility has to be shifted. And without it, then they lose their – and it's with a lot of teams. You know, when guys don't feel involved offensively, you don't get nearly the same contribution at the defensive end. And it just I see it being too focused around Kawhi, and it's not feeding enough mouths for everyone to be happy.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. The Lakers were struggling without AD and without Dennis Schroeder. They get Schroeder back in, and I guess one game in, all is well.
two, right? He played two.
Let's start with the Warriors thing. Steph says, you know, people are taking out on us because we used to kick everybody's butt. Yep. Are the Warriors still a team that people get up for?
Well, not so much get up for, but look, I can't help but feel like the Lakers didn't get up for them when they played in mid-January and ended up losing that game after leading by 14, that they took them too lightly. They weren't going to allow that to happen again. I do think there is a certain satisfaction and that people were reminded of all the flexing and the shimmying and all the stuff that really bothered them when the Warriors were on top. The Warriors, having found a little bit of a groove here, we got to see that again. And so I think that renewed the desire to make Steph and Draymond, being basically the only leftovers of any significance from the championship years, to kind of put them back in their place. So I think there is some of that. Keep in mind, Steph didn't play last year, so they never got that revenge on him a year ago. I don't think it's full bore the way it was at the beginning of last year when we saw them getting smashed their first couple of games. But I do believe that that's still an element. The other part, though, simply is the Lakers, you know, were getting beat up pretty good last week. They get Dennis Schroeder back and are able to find a little bit of a groove. And so it was a perfect storm for the Warriors to suffer the way that they did. The Lakers had three things that they wanted to put to bed with playing the Warriors on Sunday, which is one, prove that Dennis Schroeder is important to them. Two, they didn't deserve all the dragging that they got last week. Actually, those are combined. Two, that they slept on him when they lost in mid-January. And three, we'd like you to feel what it was like when you were beating everybody else up.
Rick Bucher joining us. How did the Celtics get fixed?
overhaul the roster. And I mean, look, they don't. Marcus Smart is a very valuable, important piece for them. He is heart and soul, but he is a catalyst in the life. He's an emotional catalyst. He is their Draymond Green. And he's also arguably their best playmaker who can also defend at the other end. Kemba Walker can be a playmaker. He's taken advantage of defensively, and especially with his wonky knee at this point, he's not able to do the same things even offensively that we're used to seeing Kemba do. But they lost a lot of size during the offseason. It's just not a very well-constructed team. And for two talents like Jason and Jalen, they're kind of duplicative. So you got a lot in one area, and then you're missing a lot in other areas. And they have a mediocre record, and I'd say that overall they're a mediocre team. What is the strength of the Boston Celtics at this point, other than they have two talented wings? I couldn't tell you, but the way the game is being played right now, they don't have anything that stands out to me. So they're deservedly where they are. I don't see this changing significantly unless they redo that roster significantly.
Kyrie wants the NBA logo to be changed to be Kobe Bryant. I don't want to kill the messenger, but it's really hard when the messenger is the same guy that said we should start our own league. He's the same guy that told people not to play in the bubble. He's the guy that said, I want to stay in Boston if you'll have me, and then didn't want to stay in Boston. He's the same. Like, he went on sabbatical this year without telling his coach. Like, he's that same guy. But in reality, like, Kobe Bryant's taking on this mythical status now. Chance it happens is what?
Zero. There's no chance that the logo. I mean, first of all, we've somehow taken the idea in that the logo, that Jerry West was selected as the logo of the NBA.
Right. It had something to do with race. It had some sort of racial implications when it had none. Right.
Yeah. And that they specifically, like, they may have utilized the silhouette of Jerry West, but it wasn't like they said, we're going to make Jerry West the logo of the NBA. It wasn't something that was that he was anointed the logo, that they took an individual and it was some kind of award or acknowledgement or achievement, which is essentially what Kyrie Irving is making this out to be. Now, I don't have a problem with updating the logo or changing the logo, especially since they're going from Spalding to Wilson as far as the official basketball. So if there was a time, it might make sense to do that. But to give it to one particular player, look, Kyrie is one of those guys, and I don't know if you have – I have a friend of mine who's like this, who you're having conversation, and he's always the guy who goes, you know, but what if – you can be talking about something. You go, yeah, but what if we did this? And you think about it, and you go, that's kind of interesting. And then you think about it again, and you go, yeah, that doesn't really work. It's not – you know, it's interesting, but it really doesn't – it doesn't mean anything. But it's – it extends the conversation for another 5 minutes. That is Kyrie Irving. If you think about some of the things that he said longer than 5 minutes, you realize, okay, I can give you a dozen reasons why that doesn't make any sense. This is one of them. And for the league, it's just problematic on a number of levels. To me, it would be melancholic for me every time I saw that logo. I don't know that as a business you want your logo to be something that makes people sad or wistful or melancholy. And I would think for a healthy number of NBA or NBA fans that's how they would feel. And then I hate to bring it up, but
yeah, but you have to. Everybody knows, right? There's the Colorado, right? You just can't.
There's that. I mean, you just can't. It as much as you would want to, as much as he rehabbed his image, as much as you could say, well, that, you know, it was. It was in criminal court. He was found not guilty. You just can't. The NBA can't. And so that's why I say there's 0%. And that's why, like, Kyrie continuing to beat this drum is a little weird to me. And even one of the broadcast partners had a whole show about, like, bringing Jerry West on. Like Jerry West gets to decide. Hey, how would you, Jerry West, how would you?
And what are you supposed to say if you're Jerry? What are you supposed to say if you're Jerry West, too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, right, I want to keep it. I want to keep it.
Yeah, or other than say, well, you know, like, I didn't really have a choice. Like, I didn't decide that people were going to connect me with the logo. So, it's just – as this thing's become something kind of bizarre, and it's just
I don't think I think it's like a rare likable thing that Kyrie, like, it's almost like, remember, like Trump would find something that people agreed with him on that would track well. And it's like the flag thing. The flag thing wasn't a thing anymore. Yeah. It can kind of gone away. And then he calls out NFL players because he thought it was a winning argument, right? Oh, I finally got a winner that people will get behind me with. That feels like Kyrie here, where so many things he said and done, people have panned. This one, there are at least a segment of people like, you know what? That might be a bad idea, even if it's never going
to
happen.
Well, I think with Kyrie, he just wants to be thought of as an out-of-the-box thinker. Like, I'm going to propose things that nobody else has thought of, as if nobody else had thought of it. And the reality is people have thought about it, and then decided there's no real reason to go forward with this. Kyrie just likes he likes messing with the conversation. There's no fault in that. It's just, at some point when there isn't real grist to what you're saying, it's really easy to put it to the side and go, okay, there goes Kyrie again.
Yep. Rick Bucher, FS1. Buke, great stuff, dude. Talk soon.
You got it, Doug.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.